calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO. Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome to the latest United Week Stand podcast. My name's Andy Metten. I'm stood outside a very windy Old Trafford before the West Ham game. The rain's on and off. It was raining quite heavily this morning. The skies are as grey as you'll find in Manchester, which is saying something. And I'm stood outside Old Trafford as the fans are walking in. I'm with Johnny Brindley. Johnny's a long-standing United fan. He's a Manchester lad, originally from Gorton, if I'm not mistaken. And he moved to Liverpool, to Everton in Liverpool. Many years ago, he married a lady from there. Tell me the story, Johnny.
Just met her on a blind date. And
Where, Warrington?
No, in Liverpool. We met her friend on holiday.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to Liverpool on a blind date. 6 months later, we were married.
Yeah.
Big Evertonian.
Yeah.
Good for a few games. Her dad's been going since, 70 years?
Yeah.
Over 70 years. We just hit off. I've been in the Everton Supporters Club for the Evertonians. When we won the league for the first time in 26 years, they brought me a big bottle of whiskey in. Not everybody calls for football supporters, but they got me on the stage, said this is of all the Evertonians, big bottle of whiskey, which was fantastic. You know?
That's brilliant, didn't know that.
No, yeah, big bottle of whiskey, and they got a big round of applause, and there must have been at least 500 people in that club, not one person said a bad word. This is the things football fans forget, you know, we're all in the same boat, we all love football, we're all about our club.
So, you look at Everton and sounds like you have a respect for them.
Respect, they like us, they're a working class club, you know, and they do support the club, you know, their way to support is amazing, you know.
You had 5,000 at Middlesbrough midweek.
5,000, yeah.
So a lot of the people, you know, go home and away with Everton.
Go home and away, I know loads of lads, you know, go abroad, you know, they're starting to... They haven't been abroad for a long time because, you know, they had a lot of bad times. Now they're starting to go more abroad, you know, and they love it, you know. I know lads, you know, lost their jobs, you know, watching Everton. You know, good lads, you know, good people. You know, love the club, you know, like us. But, you know, we get no credit. You know, they had City play the quarter final the other night, 38,000, fivers to get in, 5,000 old fans. Would that happen at Old Trafford? No. Will they mention the papers? No.
We spoke about Everton. Is Everton the area, Everton, or is it Liverpool as well? Do you know a lot of Liverpool fans?
I know a lot of Liverpool fans, but the lads who go to the match, I'd say there's more Evertonians. You see, when I drink in a taxi club, it can be half full with Liverpool fans with shirts on, and Liverpool are playing on a Saturday. You will not see that with Everton. You know, Everton are playing, it'll be empty, because Everton fans will be there at the game. I know a lot of lads who do go with Liverpool fans, but as I say, mostly Evertonians.
How old are you now, Johnny? 60?
I am 60 now. 60.
So you've been going to United
53
since
53 years. 50, this was 7.
And how many games are you getting to now?
I've been to every game last year, the year before. I've missed...
Home and away.
I don't go to all the way European away games, but I will be doing some after Christmas, you know, when the holidays come back.
What have you made of United this season?
Solid. You know, not conceding, but we need to up the pace a little bit, you know, and play a little bit faster football. But hopefully that'll come, you know, we'll come quicker, you know, come with it, you know, with time, you know. I'm not really easy to start shouting attack, attack, attack and all this rubbish, you know. Let Van Gaal, you know, have the time to work the team, you know.
You're more positive than some of the people who've been on the podcast.
You've got to be positive, you know, stay positive, you know. I mean, I'm United for him. Through, you know, getting beat 3-0 or 4-0 at half time, or so. I expect us to come back second half. You know, you've got to think positive.
What have the positives been under Van Gaal?
Chris Smalling, you know, improving so much. Organisation, more organisation, defensive wise, organisation. Chris Smalling, you know, I'd say that was one of the most positives.
Anything else? Schweinsteiger, Schneidlin, and they're not done it for the new signing.
But
so
for me, the Germans, you know, he's outstanding. Mm. He reads the game so well, you know, and he's got so much time on the ball. You know, I could watch him all day. I mean, I don't have favourite players at Old Trafford. I just love the club. But for me, the German is just so classy.
And he got his first goal at Leicester, and he nearly got his first goal a couple of weeks before at Watford.
Well, he got I class that as his first goal, but yeah, okay, yeah, we'll give you that one. But he's so classy. I mean, Schneidlin, he's one of them players you don't really notice until you watch it again on the TV. You know, he just gets about his job, you know, for me, you know.
Rooney's playing today, supposedly. Rooney's not playing today, supposedly, because he's got an injury.
For me, Rooney just lost that yard of pace, you know. You can't drop him back into midfield because we've got enough midfield players. You know, you've got to start thinking about replacing Rooney. And I never call Rooney. He's been a fantastic servant to the club, but you've got to think about, you know, maybe, you know, replacing him with somebody with a bit more pace. You know, we're not playing enough balls over the top. And Rooney, he's not one of the players. He wants the ball to feet. You can't play him balls to feet all the time.
Does his system help him? I've spoke to lads who've played, and they say that no player in this team would be scoring a lot of goals.
I don't buy into that. No, I don't buy into that. No. You've got to play more balls over the top, which the French lads, you know, will be good at, you know, because he's fast, you know.
And Martial,
you know, he's fast, you know.
What do people in Everton and Liverpool say about Rooney?
They don't. Evertonians don't want him back. Them days of buying Gascoigne and people like that have gone for Everton fans. They've got money now. They want the best. They've got a hell of a team and a young team, you know. Liverpool fans are just bitter, you know. You'll never get a good word off Liverpool fans. Most Liverpool fans who go to the game are okay. They want to talk about football. The worst ones are the ones who don't go to the game, who want to, you know, slag the club off. Yeah, Scouts is why they hate Manchester. They don't know. It's an inbred thing in them. They brought up as a kid to hate us. You know, I've heard all different things. You know, the American Civil War's one. You know, the canal. You know, these are the things I've heard. You know,
Scousers hate Mancunians because of the American Civil War.
Yeah,
because one side,
one side was sending cotton to the south, and one side was sending cotton to the trying to stop cotton to the north. You know, you hear all different things. You know, we stopped all their trade coming to Liverpool. You know, because of the canal. You know all this, Andy. You know,
thanks for your time, Johnny. Oh, great to see you.
Great to see you, Andy. See you soon. Again. I will do. See you later, mate.
I'm with Steve Armstrong.
Hello, mate. You're right.
On the podcast, which obviously you're very familiar with. How are you feeling about United today ahead of the West Ham?
West Ham was always one of them fixtures that some of the best games of football I've ever watched have been Man United against West Ham. So, you know, it's one of them that you do look forward to. But obviously the bore fest that Van Gaal and Bilic are going to drum up, he's probably going to go against the tradition of that. So, yeah, it's going to be one of them, I think. It's just a game that captures so much of attacking flair and excitement, and it would be a shame if they didn't live up to that today. So I'm hoping that today's the day when it all sort of turns back to how it should be.
Saying about some of the best games. Do you remember when West Ham had a brilliant team in 85, 86?
Well, do you know what I remember?
McAvenny.
Yeah, well, do you remember that though? That was the. Do you remember the big kickoff with the ICF on here?
On television.
Yeah, it was kicking off. They got
down by the Northumberland pub in Old Trafford.
Yeah, they got a bit.
Which, like most pubs, is probably closed down.
Yeah, absolutely. And those were. I mean, that was. I think that was the 4-2 game, wasn't it?
Or, yeah.
But even recently, you know, you look at like 5-3s, 2-0s at their place. We've had 4-2s, 6-0s, 7-1s here.
Remember when John O'Shea had that shot a couple of years ago at Upton Park and he went out for a throw?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Teddy Gibson doing that once from 6 yards out at Old Trafford. He went for a fucking throw-in. Shocking. But yeah, it's a fixture that captures what attacking football and flair is all about. So we'll see what today brings. I'll be surprised if that's the case. I think it'll be one of these sort of. They're both thinking managers, aren't they, at the day? And I like Bilic. I like the look of him. He looks suitably mental. And I like
people. He's a
croat. Well, he's a croat, but he's also a qualified lawyer and also a heavy metal enthusiast. So he ticks a lot of boxes. I wouldn't want to go into the half time dressing room with him and him not be very, very happy when we put it that way.
He's of a generation where lads his age fought and died in a war.
Yeah.
Football is quite trivial in comparison.
Well, yeah, absolutely. He's got that stare, though, hasn't he, that you think, fucking hell, you know, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of that one. So we'll see what happens. Again, obviously, the team selection is going to be interesting with what is ultimately a massively important Europe. You know, we've not had to fiddle too much around because of the European games that are on the agenda, but we have got now a shit or bust game on Tuesday night. So he is going to tinker around for obvious reasons. 2-0 now.
It's we're just getting word.
Is that true? City are getting beat 2-0 at Stoke.
City are getting beat 2-0.
Do you know what? They'll be freezing their fucking bollocks off in that away end there as well. Couldn't be better.
Wolfsburg is Van Aal's biggest game.
He's
joining the club.
I couldn't agree more. And ultimately, his remit is all about Champions League and staying in Champions League. So it is going to be massive for that reason as well. So you'd expect United at full strength or near to full strength, and to go there with the right, I don't want to say the word philosophy, but to go there with the right approach, the right mindset, you'd expect them to go there and turn Wolfsburg over. So there's no reason to think that we won't do that, unless we go there with the opposite of those things. So, but yeah, you're absolutely spot on. It's, I think if he doesn't get through that game, I think a lot of heads are going to start to turn and ask some very, very serious questions. I think if he gets through it, I think it'll keep the dogs away for a little bit.
We're bringing in you the next podcast from Wolfsburg. I'm going via Dusseldorf on Monday.
Hanover, me.
Hanover.
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday back at late Tuesday night, which late Tuesday night on my wedding anniversary, funnily enough, which you might need to remind me to text her in the morning.
I need to stay in Wolfsburg after the game. Could not find a hotel. And one of the leaders of Wolfsburg Ultras has very kindly agreed to put me up. I said, would you like me to bring you anything from Manchester? Because he's really saving. There's no hotel rooms. And even the Airbnb rooms in Wolfsburg, there was one left, and the guy looked like he'd definitely done time for burying people under a patio in his garage.
Yeah.
And he knocked me back. I had no choice. So I've been saved. So I've just bought this lad.
Yeah, I'm on with
the United shirt with Schweinsteiger's name on the back, which is what he's asked for.
Did I hear Johnny Brindley being really positive and upbeat then?
You did hear Johnny Brindley.
It's kind of it's out of sync with his Morrissey look, isn't it?
Top man, though.
He is great.
I'm outside Old Trafford, bumped into two very familiar faces, stars of a podcast on a trip to Chelsea a couple of years ago. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
You're not allowed to give your surname, are you?
No.
How are you going to introduce yourself?
Maureen.
From where, Maureen? South Manchester. We're going to keep it.
I'm Jill from South Manchester.
Okay, and you two have been watching United since the
50s.
Yes.
You can remember.
Lots.
Busty babes, yes.
Lots.
Yes.
Okay, is it fair to ask how the current team compared to the Busby Babes? Or?
We were only small then, but quite difficult. But I would say they're nothing compared to them.
No. What have you made of United this season?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. We're better defensively than we were last under David Moyes. But I can't see where the goals are going to come from. I mean, all this possession's fine, but it's not getting us anywhere.
Yes, yeah. We went to Crystal Palace, and that was just awful. That's, and it was sad to hear United fans singing, but we need it. We need them to let him know what we want. Mm.
And it was poor against Middlesbrough as well, wasn't it?
And we lost,
we lost that.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. Can we look at any bright spots?
We like
Schweinsteiger. I've got one for Christmas.
Why do you like him?
Oh, I think he's good. We liked him when he was with Bayern Munich. And when he's good and his passes are good, and we think he's a good captain. We think he should be captain. Yes. But I mean, there is hope. We've got good players, but they're just—it's just too tight, the regime, and they're not free. They don't appear to be free to roam and to do what they can.
We've
do
always
best.
Had free-flowing football, haven't
it's
we?
It's not the United way that we know, really.
A lot of people are echoing similar sentiments, but United fans have been very patient so far.
Yes.
But we're approaching the halfway point in Louis van Gaal's three-year contract.
Yes.
Do you think there needs to be a considerable improvement, or has there already been an improvement? Do you think he's sorted the defence out and now he's got to do up front? Because it's not good enough at the moment, is it?
No, it's not. But the defence is a lot better, but he needs to sort the attack out.
If we don't score, we'll never win.
No,
and it's as simple as that. But we can't just keep changing managers, really. I think if he doesn't make it, we give him time, and he doesn't make it, we've got to seriously consider who we want. And I think we know who we would want.
We do.
Who's that?
Pep Guardiola.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
But whether he'll be available when we're going to change our manager, or whether he would come, I don't know. So
I think Guardiola recognises that Manchester United are one of the top four clubs in the world.
I think he recognises that we're an iconic club.
He does.
We're his type of club. So we'll just have to. But we won't give in. We won't give up or give in. We still can't get away ticket. So that tells you. You know, it's difficult to get tickets.
season?
Yes. Four at the most. Yes.
So out of the 19 away games in the league, you're picking up three or four?
Yes.
At the most. Yes.
And that's, you're in the loyalty park?
No, we're not in the loyalty park. When our children were born, we didn't come, so we were out of
priorities.
Yeah. That's right, yes. So we came back when our families grew up.
I think there's a great community among United fans where people help each other out for face value.
Definitely,
and that's a good thing.
Yes.
You mentioned your children. What do they think of their mothers going to Manchester United home and away?
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, I think it's fantastic. Really?
Yes. Our families love it. They're not bothered at all. And if we're happy, they're happy.
Yes.
And we don't come straight home.
You're not leading the boys off to nightclubs or anything
like
that.
No, we're just home on Tuesday.
So what's
we're on the day trip on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yes.
Just interrupt it. These two smuggle gin and Malaga on the coach. In water bottles. Don't lie.
This is being said within earshot of a policeman that you're carrying gin for away games.
Not true.
So you're doing the day trip to Hanover?
Yes, we are. And then we bus to Hanover. From Hanover to Wolfsburg. Yeah. Yes.
Probably the biggest game of Mr. Van Aert's reign.
Yes,
I know.
It's a must-win game.
Are we going to win?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Anybody?
Schweinsteiger.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, our master.
Correct. Yes.
And then who's going to win the league this year?
Oh.
You know City are losing.
We just heard 2-0.
2-0.
Well, anybody but them. Yes. We'd love it to be us. Anybody but them.
Yes.
Or Liverpool.
No, neither City nor Liverpool.
If you had to name two of your favourite players each in all those decades of supporting United, which two would you name and why?
Definitely Duncan Edwards was always my favourite.
Yeah. Why?
I thought he was absolutely fabulous.
Wasn't he? But we were very young then, so we didn't quite understand the game, if you like, did we? But we knew United because we live here.
I thought he was fabulous.
And I like Cantona. I thought Cantona was very special.
Both choose the same too. You're allowed the third one.
I like Dennis Law as well.
Okay.
I love Dennis Law, And George. There's so many.
Yeah, and Bobby Charlton.
I mean, you're from the same area where Dennis has lived for most of his life. Your paths ever crossed?
I have. I've got him on my phone. One of my friends knows his family. And it was my friend's birthday, and his wife was at the Little Do, and he came for us.
Okay.
And I saw Wilf McGuinness on Monday at the Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And he said hello.
We've met Bobby Charlton a couple of times.
Yes.
What, just like in Tesco's?
We met Bobby Charlton when we went to Tokyo to watch United.
Ah, for the World Cup Championship.
Yes.
We went to the British Embassy.
Yeah.
And he was there.
Yeah.
And so we said, we're really here for the football. And he laughed. We had our photograph taken with him.
Because we used to watch them when they used to go training down Princess Parkway.
Yes. Yeah.
And you had more access to them.
United used to train on Princess Park.
Yes, years ago.
Now, you've got a couple of years on me, but I've written about United for 25 years, and I didn't know that.
You know the YMCA?
I don't know
if it's still that now. That's where they used to train.
And you used to go and watch them?
We used to go and watch them train. You just stood there and watched them. Then they came and signed all their autographs.
I used to get the 94 bus, and players would be on the bus, and you'd just walk up to here. They'd have no transport or anything. But I'm going back a long time, and I'm not going to say any more.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Okay. Yes.
Just stop it.
Now that was just a.
Sorry.
Given your.
Good evening.
Given your first half performance, you must have thought you could have won that.
Yeah. Well, we could have or should have been up front. I think we deserve it at halftime. To be one up, we created three chances, you know, two times in the post and one great chance from Victor Moses. And considering that we came here without four, I'd say, very important or key players when we have a ball, and considering that we played against a team that conceded home only one goal so far, we've done enough to score. And well, unfortunately, we didn't score. And then in the second half, it to put us under pressure, but we were good. We had our spells as well, whether that's in pressing them, forcing their head to play long, or whether that's by keeping ball, or whether that's again by creating a great chance from Zarate. And to beat Man United, or to beat anyone, you have to score goals. We didn't, but that then we defended really as a unit, not only back four, but the whole team. They had their chances, of course, but we deserved at least a point here, and it was very... I have nothing but praise to my players. They done magnificently, and we well deserved it, and that's why we are, especially bearing in mind that it's not very common for West Ham to come here and to take something out of Man U away game. It's a good day, and especially with a clean sheet, it's good. It's good. It's really good.
You mentioned Zarate. He's had another superb performance against Dallas. Just a word about him.
Well, he's a player, you know. He's a footballer. He's working hard for a team, and he's doing his part of the defense. But didn't surprise me, Mauro Zarate, since he was at Lazio. He was like big star then, 5 years ago, or whatever. Every time he gets the ball in a dangerous situation, if he's one against one or whatever, and he's got that class, and he's a dangerous player, and he's got goals in his legs, and he's just a good player. That's why we kept him, and that's why he's into the day. That's the reason why he played. He's got that quality. Okay.
Any more, guys? What's the situation with Victor and Manuel?
Manuel, yesterday, after the training, which was basically, you know, the easy one, the day before a game, he had a few free kicks, and he felt a bit only, thigh in his right leg. And to be fair, last night it was almost certain that he's going to play. But then this morning I got a call from physio like early that he got worse. And then it was my decision. Manuel wanted to play. And of course, you know how much I rate him and everything. And I was, of course, I wanted him to play and everything, especially that I knew that we're going to have that space after we take a ball from Manchester United that is really ideal situation for him to come out of this and to penetrate. But as much as I wanted it, I didn't want to risk, because if he had played, it would be big possibility that he would be out for, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, and I didn't want to do it, of course.
Did you see the tackle by Fellaini?
Sorry?
Did you see the tackle by Fellaini on Tompkins?
There were many tackles by. It was everything but a boring game today. This game deserved goals. And I know what you are thinking about Man United, because of course you are more concentrated on Man United than you can't wait for Luis to come inside. I know, but this game deserved goals. Could have been 2-2, 3-5, 3-2 for us, 3-2 for them. I don't know, but you can't say that it was a boring game. That tackle that you. That one in the first half, you mean? Well, I didn't see it afterwards, but not a nasty one. It looked like English, like brave tackle and everything. Not a nasty one, but I've seen. If you ask me about the tackles, I've seen that situation with Schweinsteiger before the halftime. Seen that at the halftime, and it's red. It's moment of madness, or however you call it, that happened to the player, but he deserved to be sent off. But I was the one who came to the referee. I didn't see it like at the time when it happened. He told me that he didn't see it, and fair enough, I believe him, and no matter how much we are disappointed with that decision, it's impossible for the referee to see everything in the game, especially when the ball is not there, you know. So,
last one,
no hard feelings.
Last one, please.
Which arm?
Trying with the arm.
Yeah, but it wasn't that arm. It was that arm. Yeah. So it was elbow.
Well, yeah.
It was elbow. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, questions, please.
Are you frustrated, Louis?
No. I'm pleased with the performance. And, but when you created this kind of chances, you have to finish. But I cannot say that we played bad. I think we started very well the first quarter. After that, it was an equal game. Then West Ham United was also for our goal. In the second half, we dominated the whole second half. We have created a lot of chances. Yeah, and then you have to score. And they could have scored also in the second half, because it is always a match. There's a very good organized team. But they defend on a square of 40 meters, I think, with all the team. And that's always more difficult, but nevertheless, we have created a lot of chances, more than the last matches, I think. So, the most important aspect of football, you didn't do.
You seem to say that quite a lot.
Yeah. It is true.
But does that not reflect a weakness in the side then?
Yeah, my opinion about scoring goals is also not only composure, but also a lot of luck. So, I'm not so worried, but we have to pass over this period, because it is too long that we don't score. Otherwise, we were first in the league. We could have been after Leicester City, of course, because they have won also, and they were already 1 point above. But you have to score. You are right.
It seems like the fans are increasingly frustrated. You spoke on Friday about the attack chance and suggested that because United have had a huge amount of possession, that should somehow make the fans happy with the attacking play. But they don't seem comfortable with the style of play.
Yeah. I think when we had scored a goal, then they were very pleased, because they were supporting more than ever, I think. So it is a question of to score that goal. And we didn't do that, so that's our problem. And also that the fans are disappointed. Yeah, I know that, because I'm also disappointed, and also my players. They want to score every minute of the game, but that is not possible. But I don't understand that they are shouting attack, attack, because we are the attacking team and not West Ham United. And that's not only today, that is in every game. like that, because we are always more dominating than our opponent. So that's what I have said Friday. That is what I mean to say. When you have a lot of ball possession, you have a lot of ball possession to create chances, and not to play the ball around to don't score. So, and when they don't like the style of playing for Manchester United, everybody knows that in advance, that all the teams of Louis van Gaal is playing like that. So when you have that question, yeah, then I say, okay, that's the where I have been in Barcelona or Bayern München or AZ, we have played like that. But I think when I meet the fans on the streets or where, then they are very happy with Manchester United and with me. But you have to score, and when you don't score, when it lacks points because of that, now we are 3 points behind Leicester City because we don't score one goal today, and that is the difference. And today I think the team who has to win was Manchester United and not West Ham United, but they could have scored. We could have lost also, and that is also fantastic, this game of football.
Louis, how much of a worry is it then, the lack of goals going into the biggest game of the season now away at Wolfsburg?
Yeah, we have to score, eh? So we must score. And I think everybody knows that. And we have to play against a very good team. But still, we can do that. Also today, I was convinced that we could do it. But we don't have any luck, I think. But also, we have to be more composed in that situation. I think that too. But when you miss chances 3 meters before the goal, in front of the goal, yeah. What can you say as a trainer?
Okay, guys.
You need another finisher. That means you need a more lethal, a more dangerous finisher, consistent finisher.
It's dependable how many chances he get then. Because in my team, a lot of players get the chances, not always the fixed player you have in mind. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, do you understand that what I'm asking you? Do you not feel you need a really top quality striker? You don't seem to have an Aguero, a Suarez, a player of that ilk.
Yeah. When you see that now, you can say that. But the question is, shall score Suarez here, or shall Aguero score here? Is also the question mark. You never know.
Don't you think they would?
I think they would, yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
That's just real.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of play you need?
Maybe. You never know. That's still a question mark.
So it's about an hour and a half after the final whistle, and the lads selling United We Stand have gone home. I had to stay for longer inside the ground, and I didn't want them hanging around. So you'll probably appreciate that all their voices coming on, all that anger and swear words, which I won't be using. But it was very disappointing. I'm walking across the windswept forecourt now. The Christmas trees have been put up. Most of the security has gone home. And one thing that really impressed me about United today, well, wasn't really on the pitch, was the security. And when you see people who work at Old Trafford, they don't really get thanks for it, but the way in which it's been stepped up after those attacks in Paris, you don't know whether the club are being overly paranoid or not, but it's very, very thorough now. I must have been checked 5 times today outside the ground, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And as somebody said to me, Manchester United are about 18 months ahead of what most clubs, big clubs, are in terms of security at the moment, and they've taken the lead. But that's sidetracking from the main point, which everyone's thinking about, which is another 0-0 draw. That's the 5th in 9 games, 7th draw in 10 games. As Slaven Bilic, the West Ham manager, quite rightly said, it was an entertaining game. It did deserve goals, but given this is Manchester United, you don't get goals. It's just stopped happening. Don't see goals anymore. One team has scored at Old Trafford in domestic games this season, but I'm not too concerned about them scoring. It's what Manchester United are not doing, and there are clearly problems. And while Van Gaal puts on an optimistic face, which I understand because he's the manager, and Sir Alex Ferguson often did this, it's still worrying. He does seem detached from the mood. Just hope the wind isn't spoiling this recording too much as I walk over the canal towards Salford. But Van Gaal says that when fans come up to him in the street, they tell him that they're happy with him, happy with Manchester United. Well, they're hardly going to have a go at him and tell him where to go. And he's encountering fans in outside wealthy city centre restaurants on the streets of South Manchester, in Hale and Bowden. They're only going to be polite with him. British people are polite. But the mood will turn if United get knocked out of the Champions League in Wolfsburg. It's a huge match. It's the most important game since Van Gaal took charge at the club. And I don't think that there's a strong movement for Van Gaal going at the moment. I think United fans are still very supportive, and I know Van Gaal appreciated that. He said it, you just heard it. And as the game went on, the chance of United got louder and louder. The support got better and better, because before that, I thought West Ham fans were really loud, and they had the better chances in the first half. So no complaints about Manchester United fans, just a lack of goals. And team are fourth now. It's where they finished last season. It's not going to be good enough to finish fourth this season. But what do you do? Do you rip it up and start again? Do you bring a new manager in? You're seeing people saying we should bring Pep in, you should bring Ancelotti in. But Manchester United has never been a club just for sacking managers. But there's uncertainty around now, because Van Gaal has signed a 3-year contract. Would there be a compelling reason for him renewing that at the moment? Not really. But if you speak to him and people who believe in his ideas, they'll say that he is rebuilding. He's sorted the defence out first, and other parts of the team will follow. He thinks that the current lack of goals is a form issue, and that the team will come through it, and it might be. And we might be sat here doing a podcast in May when United have won the league. It's not as ridiculous as it sounds, especially because City keep dropping points. The team I'm more worried about at the moment is Liverpool, because they seem to have a manager who's gone playing in a way United fans would like. But that's just a honeymoon period for him. Clearly a talented man. Did I want him to join United at one point? Yeah, I did. When David Moyes was struggling, I thought if anyone's going to replace Moyes, then it should be Jurgen Klopp. Didn't happen. Timing's key in football. But Old Trafford is missing excitement. It's missing goals. I know the United had 21 chances today, but only one of them was on target. And it's just not good enough. Expectations are high, not without reason, because it's Manchester United. We've watched decent teams for years. Not all the time. I can remember some terrible, terrible months watching Fergie's team in 88-89 or 89-90, around the time United We Stand started. Manchester United were 13th in the table. The first day that United We Stand was sold outside Old Trafford, where I stand right this minute, and the ground looks completely different to that. In fact, there's not one single part of the landscape I'm looking at which is the same as it was in 1989, but time waits for no one. I'll do the next podcast from Wolfsburg, and Steve and the lads will do the one from Bournemouth. I know that's a trip they've been looking forward to for a long time, because it means that they're on a coach for a long time, and I think they'll enjoy, well, hopefully they'll enjoy the 0-0 at Bournemouth. But first, Wolfsburg, huge match against a very good team, a team that finished second in the Bundesliga, a team that's hammered Bayern Munich. They've lost some of the players, and United have got to go there with lots of injuries, the extent of which will be made clear over the next couple of days. But they're not scoring, there are injuries, and I'm going to go now because it's getting cold in Manchester. So you'll next hear from me Wednesday morning, hopefully, from Wolfsburg, before I make a trip to a Spanish city called Valencia. Until next time, goodbye. And also to everyone who bought United, we stand this issue, thanks a lot, really appreciate your support. Getting behind the mag, not just reading stuff online, but supporting the mag, the printed publication, which we do. We're getting a decent feedback, and we always welcome feedback, good or bad. But the lads have sold again outside the ground today, and while it may be pleasurable in August, it's certainly not pleasurable in December, although he didn't book it down as it threatened to. Until next time, goodbye.